Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying the Songs of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134, and this is Lesson 7, Psalm 126, Reaping with Shouts of Joy. Let's pray. Lord, some of us are down, depressed. We ask you to put in our hearts shouts of joy. Not some kind of phony exterior, but something that rises from within, from your Holy Spirit touching our spirit. Connect us again with your joy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've ever experienced great loss, you know the enduring sorrow and emptiness that follows. But there are times, too, when God surprises you with unexpected blessings after bleak spells. Psalm 126 draws from these emotions. It begins as a psalm of thanksgiving, but later you realize it is a kind of hopeful lament. It is a psalm about thanking God for past miracles and calling upon him with hope to meet desperate needs today. Reading Psalm 126, verses 1 through 6 from the English Standard Version. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." "The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Amen. It's always nice when you can determine the context or historical setting of a psalm, though many psalms are greatly beloved because their truths transcend the initial setting and appeal to God's people universally. Our psalm begins, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream," verse 1. The ESV and NRSV translate the first line, "When Yahweh restored the fortunes of Zion." Other versions use the word "captives," explicitly suggesting the exile. I think that "restored the fortunes" is probably the better translation. But no matter which way you translate it, the context of verses 1 through 3 may well be the return from exile in Babylon in 537 BC. You're probably familiar with the story. Because of persistent sin, citizens of the kingdom of Judah are deported to Babylon. In three distinct exiles, the last of which follows the utter destruction of Jerusalem in 587 BC. It is a national catastrophe, attended by widespread death and destruction, as well as great pain and hardship. But God doesn't leave his people in Babylon without hope. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah tell the amazing story of return. In 537 BC, Cyrus, king of Persia, who has just defeated the Babylonian Empire, decrees that the exiled people can return to their lands and even gives them money to rebuild their temples so they can offer prayers for him and his family. And so some of the exiles of Judah begin the long journey back to Jerusalem. Under Zerubbabel, the prince, and Jeshua, the high priest, the temple is completed. And under Ezra and Nehemiah, the wall is rebuilt and proper worship restored. It is an amazing story that you can delve into deeper in my study, Rebuild and Renew. I see the return from exile as the probable context for Psalm 126. Let me read verses 1 and 2 again. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." Have you ever had a wonderful windfall, an amazing answer to prayer where you laugh and shout and maybe do a little victory dance? That's what it was like for these returnees to Zion. The nations around them weren't too happy to lose their territory that they had grabbed when the Jews were exiled, but they could see that God was with them in this extraordinary restoration of the fortunes of Zion. The Lord has done great things for them. The psalmist repeats the phrase in verse 3, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad." Yes, hallelujah, we are glad. The return from exile is an example of God's miraculous intervention in the life of Israel at critical times. Perhaps the psalmist is thinking of another occasion, but as Kidner says, from famine or siege, captivity or plague, God's national miracles are widely acknowledged in Israel and by their neighbors. God comes through big time, again and again. We remember the stupendous victories. But that was then, and this is now. And now, things aren't nearly so good. If you remember the history of building the wall in Nehemiah, you know the struggles and the backsliding, the desperate need for a fresh spiritual revival. So the psalmist pleads with God in verse 4, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb." You restored Zion's fortunes once, O Lord. Now we ask you to do the same again for us. We are in trouble. He asks for restoration like streams in the Negeb. Let me explain. The Negeb is the desert at the south of Judah, some of it rugged hills, some flatter, but all of it dry. The land is scarred by many dry gullies. The Arabs call such a gully a wadi. Out in the American Southwest, we call this kind of dry gully an arroyo. In arid lands, they are bone dry nearly all year except when the rains come, and then, without warning, in moments, a flash flood can turn the dry creek bed into such a torrent of water that nothing can stand in its path. The psalmist's prayer is bold. Verse 4, "Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negeb." We're dry now, but like the instant flash floods in the dry water courses of the desert, suddenly intervene and reverse our situation with your blessing. It is a powerful prayer. The next two verses, however, signal a change in perspective. Whereas verses 1 through 4 focus on God's mighty intervention to bring a miraculous national restoration of fortunes from pain to joy, verses 5 to 6 focus on the more normal working of God in our lives to bring incremental growth, the cycles of planting and harvest that take place year after year. Verses 5 and 6, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." Even in good times, we experience great obstacles. We run out of food before the harvest comes in, and we have to eat less and see our children get thinner. We face illness, death of loved ones, trouble in our marriages, but we don't quit. We keep on doing what we must do, all the while trusting God. And for the farmer, that chore is planting, even though he weeps as he plants the seeds, the difficult day-by-day labor that is necessary for the harvest. In due time, that harvest will come if we don't quit. Two passages of the Apostle Paul come to mind. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And then one of my favorites, 1 Corinthians 15:58 from the Revised Standard Version. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." The theme of this psalm is simple. God doesn't leave you in pain forever, but will restore your fortunes. Trust Him. You may be weeping now, but there will be a time when God will usher you into a renewed time of joy. Through it all, you trust in Him. As David puts it in Psalm 30, verse 5, "Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." And when that morning comes, we will sing songs of praise at the top of our lungs. These songs of joy, Hebrew rina, occur three times in our short psalm. Verse 2, our tongue was filled with shouts of joy. Verse 5, reap with shouts of joy. 6, come home with shouts of joy. Yes, Lord, you will change our sorrow into joy. And until that happens, we will continue to trust you. But when that day comes, there will be rejoicing. David writes in Psalm 30, 11 and 12, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Psalm 126 gives two answers to the dilemma of struggle. First, a prayer that God will suddenly deliver us as he has done in the past. And second, that if we continue our labor in faith, he will bring the inevitable harvest, and with it, deliverance and joy. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we have seen your glorious and amazing salvation. But times of trouble are now upon us. Work a miracle in our midst, we pray. And help us day by day to patiently follow you as we work it out in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Day 7 meditation on Psalm 126. Why doesn't God always do the stupendous miracles of which he is capable? Why is patient obedience over the long haul necessary to both the success of our labors and our own spiritual maturity? Can we shout for joy now, even before we receive answers to our prayers? What might prompt that in us? Hey friends, go out there and give to heaven today. Amen.